Good morning. Today is Friday, Admissions Day, 2022. Did you know it was California Admissions Day?
No, I did not.
Oh, well, that's probably because the governor hasn't come out and made a proclamation and spent some money associated with it, right?
Admissions to what?
The Union. 1858, I think. Was it 58 that happened? I think
1850.
It was. 50. Ah. Oh, 58 is when Eureka became a city. Whoops.
Yeah, 1864 is when the Eureka Fighter Program.
Okay, there you go. Only reason I know it is it was also Mom's birthday.
Oh, okay.
And for everybody that's going to be sending presents, you've got one day to get them here. I go 62 tomorrow. So I don't know if that means I can retire.
Congratulations.
Yeah, just more senior discounts that I get mad at being offered.
For now.
Yeah. Yeah, when I get to the time that oatmeal is dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll probably accept it at that point. Probably just hack somebody off, huh?
Probably.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you ready for our Why Do We Say It?
Yes. Do the people know who I am today?
Do they care? Oh, yeah. Oh, not yet.
Wow. I'm setting the stage.
Well, you know, it's either you or that guy from the school district.
Oh, okay.
You know.
With the funny accent?
Yeah. I mean, you know, people recognize you. I bet they recognize your voice.
Well, that's nice
to
know.
You're supposed to introduce your guests.
All right. Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson.
Thank you. Thank you.
But that's still just... has kind of been avoiding the question at hand. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. Why do we say chew the fat?
Well, I don't think there's a...
Oh, wait a minute. I used it before. I just saw that.
You did?
Yeah.
With someone else?
I guess so.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. I'll find another one. Freeloader. How's that? Why do we say freeloader? That's probably more germane to your day-to-day activity than... chewing the fat, huh? As busy as you guys are.
I don't know. I think...
You have no clue, do you?
I do have a clue, but I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Okay, do you have the guts to say it? you just want to pass and let me
yeah, I
fill
don't,
it in?
I don't know the historical origin of freeloader. I mean, the current term, I would guess, has nothing to do with the origin.
Okay.
Maybe it's to do with loading cannons,
yeah,
or guns.
Yeah, and not charging anybody.
Or shipping, whether you get free board because something. I don't know. Be my best guess.
All right. At every old-fashioned picnic sponsored by a church or a lodge or a community, a few zealous people did more than their fair share of work. When the food was spread, such a gathering was sure to attract at least one person who brought along nothing other than a tremendous appetite. A man, woman, or half-grown child who loaded his or her stomach with free food was usually tolerated, but was not urged to come back the following year. Invited or not, such a person was likely to show up again, even more hungry than the last time. Soon the freeloader became a stock character, always present where there was always something to eat. Spawned at a picnic table, the title transferred to any sponger or moocher who is a conspicuous consumer but doesn't contribute to the expenses.
Wow.
So you were kind of almost there.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's a very vague origin.
Oh, you want something more specific and more challenging?
Well, usually it has, you know, a date and some actual reason.
Wisdom, okay.
Church picnic.
All right.
I don't know. Sure, in the fact we could go back to that one. That's just moving your mouth around.
Mm-hmm. How about put through the mill?
I mean, those grindstones.
You're
going to
have the same answer, aren't you?
Well, those grindstones are pretty big and crushing.
Yeah.
So if you're, I'm assuming that's the mill they're talking about, corn mill.
Yeah, grinding wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you put through that, you're going to come out in a different shape or form. Yeah.
The British were using grinding wheels for cereal grasses as early as the 5th century.
Yeah.
Made of native stone, such a wheel was operated by water power or turned by ox.
Mm-hmm.
When it became customary to erect a special house for grinding, the builders called it a mill, derived from a Saxon word. Machinery remained simple for centuries, but farm boys of medieval times saw few wonders. It was a real adventure to visit a mill and to see wheat go under a stone and come out as flour. Wheat and other cereals were so quickly pulverized by stones that any person, here it comes, just want to underline it so that you're with us on this one.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for
breaking
it down.
Were so quickly pulverized by stones that any person getting rough treatment came to be described as being put through the mill.
Mm. Pulverized.
Pulverized.
That's a good word.
That's a good word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
Descriptive.
Bring back an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, cruising Eureka. Special challenge for you guys? I would like to think you're going to have maybe a shiny big red, brand new red truck on display as part of cruising Eureka, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, we've never done that. We're generally using the trucks for other things.
Oh.
But
even the new ones?
Well, especially the new ones. They're the one we put them in service. Yeah, but our 1928 fire engine's going on to Ferndale this weekend.
There's a muster this weekend?
There's an event down there for Patriot Day for 9/11, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they got that out of the Station 6 yesterday.
Dusted it off, cleaned it up, greased the wheels, et cetera?
Yep, fed the horses.
Who's the old guy that gets to take it so that it looks like it's of age?
A couple of our retirees. Yep. Kent and Kevin.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. The guys that like playing with the historical stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. They're a huge asset because you know.
So that would mean that Kent was going to get a haircut and represent the department properly?
He still has a magnificent mustache, so that kind of takes care of everything.
Okay. Oh, gee. That kind of stuff's kind of fun, though, getting out.
Yeah.
A little PR for the company, but it gives you a chance to get the old gear out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have a really unique asset in those things that still operate, because not many organizations still have them that still work.
I thought you were saying not many people that age still are functional.
That's true, too.
You kind of got to that point, didn't you?
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. So you got it out this time, huh?
Good work.
Yeah. Good work / low standards.
People like to know what's going on.
That is right. So what's going on? You guys had a little bit of action this week, huh?
It's been a very busy few weeks for sure.
Connected to the fires that are in the news regionally, or just things going on here, fire and the drugs and all that kind of stuff?
Just more locally. Yeah, nothing to do with the big wildfire incidents. But yeah, we've had a lot of structure fires, a lot of calls. Our call volume seems to be up the last couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah, it seems like it's a weird time. A little malaise is kind of what I would... Talk to the merchants. Foot traffic's off a little bit. You drive the streets. It's not quite as busy as what you would tend to think that it would be. Guys getting goofy calls, higher level calls.
I don't think there's a reason for it. It just happens. I mean, maybe seasons changing. I don't know.
Not that I know anything, right? But an attribution to the weather temperature.
Sure.
It's just so, it's interesting. I shut down at 64 degrees.
Really?
So you can imagine how efficient I've been the last couple of weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it just, without air conditioning, we're not geared up for it.
Yeah.
You just go, okay, and just kind of cruise in the afternoon a little bit.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's part of the reason also. Just, you know, you get a run like this, you know. Okay. Are there any trends with these fires that you guys have been responding to?
No, as usual, they're all just, you know, we look for those kinds of things, but both just random incidents. The fatality fire, the person was actually deceased prior to the fire, and we don't know if they had a, you know, a heart attack or stroke and then dropped a cigarette or
knocked. Oh, so that could have been the causal agent.
Yeah.
For the event, not
so just really
some grandpa in the no, I won't even
yeah,
say
yeah, really random. And yeah. the other one, I don't recall the origin, but just things happen, you know.
With the construction that you're seeing around town and those that are on the books,
right?
Is that exciting stuff for you? Is that challenging? It's going to be different because, you know, anytime there's a new structure, okay, it changes the dynamic, maybe just slightly. But if you get three or four of them in an area, all of a sudden now you got to kind of have to look at things a little
bit
different.
I mean, for us, we look at it from the community risk side where we do the inspections, and it's, you know, a new building with new construction, so ostensibly it's safer because of the updated codes and all that kind of thing. And then on the suppression side, it's going to have sprinkler systems. Sprinkles.
I didn't realize that you had donuts across the street from the police.
We love donuts. And cookies and brownies, cakes, all the good things.
Brownies with sprinkles, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Chocolate sprinkles. But in terms of the suppression side, I mean, generally doesn't have a big effect, and we just like to know what's going on. And I mean, from my perspective, any building indicates development, and that's a positive thing for the community. So I think that's
good. You got your budget.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to be able to backfill those open positions?
I believe so. It's, again, not a budget issue for us. It's more just
finding folks,
availability issue. But we just finished up our firefighter hiring last week, so that's looking good. We have some great candidates, and we're doing our promotional testing next week. Potentially we have every position filled with our applications, so we're just waiting for a couple of our sick folks to come back, and that should be in the next month to 3 months. So yes, I believe we will be able to backfill those positions.
So that means all the stations are open?
That's still the goal, October 1st, is go back to be back at 5 stations.
It's got to be nice just to say it.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I mean, our people are stepping up, and, you know, our call volume has been higher feels like the last month, but certainly the last week. And that, what that means is because we have one less unit at all times, if not two, then they're running multiple more calls. So
I don't think I've ever thought about this one. When you go to respond to location A.
Right.
Okay, then there's another call. That one's wrapped up. Do the guys go back to the house or the station, or will they go to the next one? Could they, in theory, go to two or three different stops?
That happens pretty regularly, where they'll be out and they'll clear that incident and then they'll go to another one. Yeah, they're going to immediately go to wherever that next location is, if it's in their response jurisdiction.
Yeah, if it's close enough, they're the ones, or they're free.
Yeah, another thing we have regularly is what we call stacked calls. We'll have one incident, and then we'll have multiple others at the same time, and it's actually around 40% of the time we have that.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty high regularity. And that can be if we have a structure fire and we have multiple calls at the same time. That's the more challenging situation. But yeah.
Kind of like flying crabs?
Exactly.
You know, on so many levels, I'm going to look forward to having Winston here on Monday.
What does he do? Did you countdown?
It's our little internal system here that it's time to pay attention to.
That's right.
Hit a break. We have
crabs,
stuffed animals that get thrown around.
Crabs don't work as well as round balls, apparently.
Yeah, though they work better.
That's
true. They don't bounce.
They don't bounce.
Unless you really get a
not as distracting
old crab. You know, that's We don't have old crabs here. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
KINS, news and information time. It's 8:35. It's a squirrely Friday.
So far.
Joining us this morning is Sean Robertson. Sean, we heard that you guys aren't competitive departments, but let's say your peer across the water.
Uh-huh.
Got a couple of Humboldt Bay's finest.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
Four of them.
Yes. Now, you can take any cheap shots you want at Justin. I don't care. I won't hold you back.
I will not.
You won't?
No.
Does that mean you're going to steal some of his back?
Well, I did. I did hire two of his firefighters 2 years ago.
Oh,
and they became paramedics for us. And one of them just left us to go to Santa Rosa.
So why would anybody want to go to Santa Rosa?
Because they pay really well.
Yeah,
but it's a really good department.
Is it?
Uh huh.
Yeah, I know that's where you lost a couple of people to, but
yeah,
it's still Santa Rosa. I suppose if you like Metropolitan, it's a nice, comfortable
Sonoma
Metropolitan.
Sonoma County is pretty nice. Nice place.
Yeah. Unless you have to work there.
I've worked in worse places than that.
Yeah. You're really not playing too well this morning, are you?
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. A long night last night, huh?
No, it was a beautiful night. Did you see the moon? It was amazing.
What did I see last night?
It was pretty big.
Yeah. I was just outside, just kind of coasting. Nothing really particularly exciting about yesterday.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Sometimes it's better not to have a memorable day than to have one.
That's very true.
So when someone leaves and stays in the area.
Yes.
I would think that after the initial rats.
Right.
That it really gives you a chance to kind of continue to build up relations with the various departments.
It definitely can do that, because we have that relationship.
If you wanted to, okay, I got that.
Well, I say that more because we haven't, you know, often had that situation, and certainly not.
Oh, really? It doesn't happen too much?
No, it does not.
They normally are leaving the area if they're leaving the area?
Yes.
Or leaving the department?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we definitely struggle to hire local people here. For Arcata and ourselves are the only agencies really hiring besides CAL FIRE. It's because we don't have a fire academy here. It's difficult to get folks trained to the level we need them to be at.
Have you talked with either Humboldt or CR about doing that? What Butte still has theirs, right?
Yes, Butte has theirs. Yes, we have talked with CR for several years. It's one of those things where, you know, there's a certain amount of students needed to make any program work. And the needs here are pretty, disparate is a good term, because we have a lot of volunteer fire agencies in Humboldt, you know, I think 42 is the official number. And there's only two paid. So the requirements that we have, which is a state fire training firefighter one, is not really needed by most of the agencies. They just are looking for some, you know, training that can help them get people the basics or to drive or operate a pump. And they've done a really great job, you know, in Southern Humboldt and then here in what's called the North Bay, to have those regional kinds of trainings. And then CR has been working to supplement the CAL FIRE training as well. And we'd ultimately like to have a dedicated fire academy here. And they have hired a director, I think it was 4 years ago, to kind of move towards that place. Yeah, so for 4 years we've been rebuilding the fire technology program. So
you take another four before the class is offered?
There are some classes there now, but you know, not what we would need to get folks certified. And it's just part of it is the requirements from state fire training to be an accredited academy. They're pretty rigorous.
There'll be some standards that would have to be met.
Yeah, they're pretty high standards. And again, we we don't have enough people to really, you know, justify that.
Does Santa Rosa and Sonoma County professional departments, paid departments, whatever that reference is, send theirs over to Butte?
Some of them do, yeah. Yeah.
Because I would think that Butte would tend to be more wildland fires because of where they're situated, rather than more urban or the interface or whatever you want to call whatever we have.
Right.
There's just different types of fires.
Well, those academies are basically a semester long, so up to 6 months long, and they'll qualify or certify people going through that in all of those disciplines. So you come out of there with, you know, an EMT, Firefighter 1, all the wildland requirements, a whole bunch of specialty rescue trainings. So you're able to, you know, fit into what is generally an entry-level firefighter position at most municipal agencies, but definitely for Cal Fire, the Forest Service, you're ready to go. And
that's what I was wondering, if they're more feeding the state and the Fed departments rather than...
They do both. I mean, traditionally, the career track is you start at a volunteer agency, so you get experience, and then you get some basic training. Then you can go through an academy, and those are generally more in the populated areas because they're much more competitive. You get all the certifications, then you apply. But now the whole labor pool has changed so much. It's really difficult to get that experience, and there's a whole lot less applicants.
Yeah, I would.
When I got hired in 1998, there were 800 applicants for two positions, and we're hiring, you know, probably three people, and we had 26 applicants. And you might think, oh well, that's just Humboldt County. But I spoke to an assistant chief friend of mine down in Manteca area, and they're hiring two positions, and they had only 90 applicants. So even for such a competitive, you know, area down there, they're still not seeing a whole lot of folks apply, and we're all fighting for the same resources across the state.
Is that applications or is that qualified applications?
It's just applications.
Okay, yeah. So you can throw me out.
Yes.
One less.
Yes.
To worry about
the beard's just a deal breaker.
I would think that coming out of the academy, even without volunteer experience, unless you need that to get into the academy, it would give you kind of a clean slate for somebody to be able to mold the folks.
Yeah.
The way that you want it, rather than, you know, you're dealing with somebody out and who knows where and what their training is and what their apparatus is. Maybe it's applicable and maybe you have to unteach a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have some proprietary methods here. For just example, throwing ladders and cutting holes in the roof. But the academies teach to the state standard. And that's changed in the last couple of years to mirror the national standards. So the National Fire Protection Agency, NFPA, has a standard that shows what the firefighter skills are and how those should be accomplished.
Do the volunteer departments also have to meet those same standards? Or
no.
Is it whatever they can get is better than not having?
Exactly. It's whatever they can get. I mean, we kind of worked on that a few years ago because we wanted to have a basic level of competency for live fire training, because if you're going to put someone in a fire and, you know, try to teach them how to fight that, they should have some basic training to get there. But again, it's a struggle to get everybody trained to that level. So we looked at different NFPA standards to make it consistent, yeah. And also that those agencies could do that training, because it's difficult to get that.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson from Humboldt Bay Fire. What does the department look like in 25 years? Any idea?
Great question.
More stations, less stations, different stations?
I think we would definitely need different stations because the ones we have need a lot of need a lot of upgrading.
Okay, different locations for the stations might be.
I mean, that's been a topic of conversation for a while. It all depends if we do have the development in the Greater Eureka area in Cutton and.
Well, it's got to be.
Those areas. I mean, yeah, it's got to be expanded. So we may have to do another station out there.
With all of the talk about housing needs, infill, et cetera.
Right.
For the area to hit its numbers, Cutton's got to be there.
Yeah.
You know, if it's 500 homes or 1,000 homes, whatever the number is. Do you have a ratio that says X number within a radius of 5 miles, X number of homes, that equals one fire station? Is there a standard like that?
There is a standard. I couldn't tell you exactly what it is, but that's certainly used a lot in development, especially in areas that see a lot of expansion, and the developers will incorporate that cost and that planning into it.
So it's not like a special district or anything like that, that everybody bears a small percentage and then the new guys pay a higher percentage?
There's nothing that is a requirement. It's not part of an ordinance or anything. I mean, you can develop that through the agreement, but generally that has to be worked out as proprietary, is my experience. And certainly in Humboldt County, I don't believe that's been a practice.
Well, there's a lot of things that have been a practice, like good planning for roads.
Yes.
As an example.
Yeah, but I mean, in 25 years, I would hope we would have expansion, upgraded facilities, you know, a more agile agency that can adapt to things better. And who knows what the wildfire situation will look like then.
That's really the wild card, isn't it?
Yep. Because, I mean, the way things are going, we see it encroaching on the, you know, the jewel of Humboldt that has always been outside of the wildfire concern. And
well, just fresh water in Three Corners.
Yep.
You know, if that area gets built out,
right,
which I would think is probably in the cards, if they tie in with the services district.
Yeah, and okay, who knows?
I mean, that's a pretty good haul for any station, you know, yep, whether it's Hubbard or any of the other ones.
And I don't know, I mean, another concept is consolidation of the Bay, the Humboldt Bay fire agencies to provide better service. I mean, that's...
Well, then that way these guys couldn't be leaving you.
That's right. We'd just be one big happy family. But, I mean, that is, you know, the goal is to deliver more efficient services. And the fire chiefs have been looking at how to consolidate a lot more districts because, like I said, having 42 agencies just creates...
Unwieldy a little bit?
It can be.
Yeah. Well, with the developments out on the north spit, is that, I would think that eventually is going to get to a tipping point where either you or Arcata are going to have to pick it up just because, you know, the volunteers are all working in town or away.
Yeah.
It's not like they're at the mill like the old days.
Right. Now, I think the Samoa Peninsula District is what has plans to provide a more permanent solution to their fire situation because that's going to be a bigger concern in the future. But
not consolidation, but they would have their own staffed
department. Yeah, but in 25 years, you know, that's a long time from now, would it work in that?
Yeah, or how many folks are having the ocean view from there?
Exactly. It's hard to know at this point.
How many of us are still around, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Well, the duck didn't fly, it just kind of creeped over, so I think it's time to go.
Well, have a wonderful day.
All right. Hey, have a calm day.
We don't try to say things like that. It's
bad. Oh, is that like?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, get really busy. I mean, it's got to be the antithesis then. I mean, anyway, see you everybody Monday.